Father, we ask that you be with each and every one of us as we study your word, and I pray that you open our heart, that we can receive it and believe in it, and in due time we can apply in our own lives. I also pray that you also open our ear that we can hear, our eyes that we can see the glorious light of the gospel, that we are attracted by your word and not to be distracted by the word of man. And I know that you are truthful, and what you say is trustworthy, for you are faithful God. And I pray that you speak to each and every one of us and help us to follow your very footstep, so that when people look at us, they see that we are Jesus Christ's disciple and we are your follower. And whatever you do, and I pray that you empower us to do the same. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please turn to the book of Ephesians? Turn to the book of Ephesians. Don't you remember the last week we talked about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24? Where's Etta? In the washroom? Okay. And last week we talked about put off your old self and then put on the new self. And in between, in order to put off the new self and put on the new self, in between, we have to be make anew in the attitude of your mind. So I want to read that to you. Chapter 4, verse 22. 4:22, put off the old self. And verse 24, put on the new self. And in between, 4:23, in between, 23, to be make new. Make new in what aspect? In the attitude of your mind. So I want to study this word. I want to stop here. Take a look at that, okay? Ephesians 4:22, Paul saying that in order for our lives to be changed, 4:22, we have to put off the old self and then put on the new self. But in between, in order for us to put off the old self and put on the new self, our mind has to be changed, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. If we have no idea, if we don't want to put off the old self, no way we will put on the new self. If you think the old one is good enough, why, let's say if you put on, if you have old shoes and it's still doing well, it still look good, and sometimes look even better than the new one, is more comfortable, why would you throw off the old one? Right? So deep in your mind, you have to realize the old one is no good. The old one is no good. The new one is better. Deep in your mind, you have to think like that before you're willing to pull off the old self and put on the new self. I give you one illustration. Let's say you're holding on a candy, right? M&M, the tiny little one, chocolate one. And then I hold on to the big chunk, you know. And I just taste it in front of you. Not the M&M tiny one, okay? And I say, what's your name?
Janeline.
What if I give you the big chunk of chocolate? It tastes so good. And you give me your M&M. If deep in your mind, if you think the M&M, that little one is good, you won't give your old one to me, then you won't get the new one. Do you understand? In order for us to put off the old self and then put on the new self, in between, you have to be made anew in the attitude of your mind. You have to know the new one is better. The old one is no good. If you're thinking is not willing to be changed, you won't change your action. Before we change our action, we have to change the attitude of our mind. Does it make sense? Okay, take a look at what Paul illustration. The first illustration Paul make is verse 25. Therefore, each of you, that means there's no exception. If we are Christian, if we call ourselves Christian, therefore each of you must put off falsehood. Falsehood is our old self. That's the illustration. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. I want to leave off the latter part of verse 25. For we are all members of one body. Just talk about the first part of 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Put off falsehood and put on truthfulness. Does it make sense? Put off falsehood and put on faithfulness, truthfulness, trustworthiness. Speak truthfully to his neighbor. Let's take a look at, about that. What good does it do if I put on falsehood? Assuming, okay? Now take a look. I just make some illustration. Assuming Joshua had done something bad, and he taking some drugs, so that's why I make him so tired. He's smoking marijuana. No one knows, but Hannah knows about that, because Hannah knows the friends of Joshua at the University of Alberta. And then your friend dare not confront you, saying that Joshua is no good to take marijuana, no good for your health. But he tell your niece, right? Tell Hannah about you. And now, Hannah, now you know that. It's a truthful information that you find out that he's taking marijuana. What would you say? You put some falsehood and say, wow, Josh, you're a smart guy. Make you high, you get stoned, right? You feel good. Or, that's bad. You should stop that. Which one would you say if you found out you take marijuana? So you speak truthfully to Joshua. You think by speaking to him truthfully, he will stop right away?
No. He's so
stubborn. Oh, I didn't say that, right? She said that.
Stubborn tells me.
So what will you do if he's stubborn?
continue.
So, and then what happened then? And then what happened? Eh?
I would have to tell his parents.
Tell his parents. First of all, tell him individually, privately. But look like he's a stubborn guy. He won't listen to you. So in order for him to be changed, tell his parents, right? So when you tell him directly, he think he will get close to you?
Like, you mean he'd be mad at me?
Will he be mad at you?
Yes.
But you're taking a risk.
Yes, a big risk.
Why would you take that kind of chance?
Because I want him to stop.
You want him to stop. So you want... But he said to you he's enjoying life now,
but
getting stoned.
He doesn't know what the real meaning of enjoying life is.
Oh, you don't know what? Okay, another illustration. Let's say someone know that Gabriel spending a lot of time in computer, in the internet, chatting with friends, with stranger, talking about worthless things, you know? So, and then he's not spending time in studying. So if you want to gain his trust, gain his friendship, from the worldly point of view, how can you gain his friendship? You chat with him in the computer. Then he become your friend, right? But then he's going to flunk all his courses. Right? But what if some good friend of you confront you and speaking the truth to you, if you keep on doing like that, you're not going to graduate. Even though you graduate, you don't learn the stuff. And someday, it will haunt you back. Because when you don't learn the stuff, in the real world, you'll be fired. So as Christian, we put off the old self. What's the old self? The old self is falsehood. Not telling the truth. Because we know that when we tell the truth, you may become an enemy of your friend. You understand? The Bible says that in verse 25, the first part of verse 25, we have to put off the falsehood and then speak truthfully to each other. Put on the trustworthiness. Put on the truthfulness. Why? For we are the member of one body. In other words, if we are the member of one body, that means if it's no good, you are no good. So for this reason, we have to put off the old self, to put on the new self. For this reason, let's say if your daddy loved to do gambling in casino, Joshua, look at me. If William loved to play slot machine in casino, if he wastes all his money in the casino, there will be no food on the table, right? Why? Because we are members of one body. If he's no good, you'll be no good. But if your friend is no good, then it's not necessary I'm no good, because we are not a member of one body. He's no good, it's your problem. Do you understand? So within the body of Christ, we are members of one body. If you're no good, and I'm no good. If you're good, then I'm good. You get the benefit, I get the benefit. You don't get the benefit, I don't get the benefit. So I want you to get the benefit. I will do my very best to help you to do that. For this reason, we have to put off the falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. You understand what I'm trying to say? For we are members of one body. But in the church, do you see that we are practicing that? What happens if your friend speak truthfully to you? How do you feel? You feel mad. For how long? Like a day? Could you keep on reading 26? What happened? Can you be mad for a day? What did the Bible say?
In your anger, you mean like for that day.
For that day.
For 24 hours.
For 24 hours? Okay, let's
not
look at.
Not for
24 hours.
For that day.
Let's say if someone make you upset at 5 o'clock evening.
Yeah, I would not be mad by the time the sun goes down.
Oh, she's a wise woman nowadays.
So by 7:45?
7:45. most of you are going to check it out, okay? She says so. Okay, that's good. Okay, now, I still want you to read that. Verse 26.
In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry.
So I want to go back. What's the reason why verse 26 is right after verse 25? Because when we think that we are all members of one body, so I care about your well-being, you care about my well-being, right? So that's why I have to put off the falsehood when I interact with you and then speak truthfully to you, because I think you are the member of the same body. But by doing so, verse 26, those who hear about the truth will become angry. Am I right? So verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. But do we practice that? You bang the door, go to your own room, I'm not going to talk to you, right? Isn't it? Joshua, is it? For Hannah, it's like that, right?
Yeah.
So you're glad what?
We talked about this today.
Okay. Wow. So what happened? Let's say, what happened? What happened? I refuse to calm myself down. What is the consequences? Do you know, Hannah? What's the consequences?
Give the devil a foothold.
When you give the devil a foothold, what happened? When he entered you, what happened?
You go to hell.
You want to go to hell?
No.
So, okay. Now let's go back to chapter 4 verse 22 all the way to 24. Verse 22 saying that we Christian, we have to put off the old self, and in verse 24 we have to put on the new self, and verse 25 is equivalent to 22. Put off the falsehood. The falsehood, the old self is falsehood. We love to be hypocrite. We were hypocrite. We don't want to tell people the truth. Why? We don't want to upset people. We want to make friends with people at their expense. We love to do that. That's the old self. And we don't realize we are all members of one body. In other words, when you suffer, because I'm not telling you the truth. When you suffer because I'm not telling you the truth, when you suffer, I suffer. Can you imagine, okay? I think a lot of Christians, they don't realize it. Like, when your daddy is not a Christian, even though he's not a Christian, he's still the head of the household. If he's the head of the household, that means he makes decisions for the entire household. If you are not a Christian, you make decisions for the entire household, very likely you will make mistake. End up what happened? The entire household will benefit or will suffer? Will suffer. So, if we understand that, your daddy is the head of the household, and yet he refused to be Christian, that means when he makes decision, he won't make his decision based upon the guideline, based upon the teaching, based upon the instruction that is written on the Bible. Am I right? He's going to base upon his own culture, his own thinking. He thinks what is right and what is wrong. He makes that decision. And most of the time, our thinking, our way, our thought is not the same thought as God's way and God's thought. For Isaiah 55 said, his way is higher than our way. His thought, God's thought, is higher than our thought. Am I right? So when he is the head of the household, he makes a decision based upon his belief. And very likely, the entire family will suffer. If you know that your entire family will suffer and you are the member of that household, are you anxious to share the gospel to your daddy, Donald? Not really? Why? Well, I want to understand that. You don't talk to your daddy anymore? What's the reason why you don't talk to your daddy? You don't want to talk to him? So, He's so removed from that. What do you mean? Is he invisible or?
It's hard to explain.
Hard to explain, right? Oh. But do you know he's the member of your household? And he is a vital member, important member, right? Just as assuming the scenario. Let's say he passed away. You know, if he passed away, you only have one income, the income from your mother. And that will be very tough. The entire household will be changed. If you think about that, wow, I cannot live without my father. You know what I mean? Then make sure you talk to him then. You know what I mean? Okay? Children, they don't think about that. They say, well, I'm having a daddy, but I don't talk to my daddy. You know what? Talk to him. Talk to him. Spend time with him. Tell him what you have learned today. And we want to apply the biblical truth in our own daily life. You say to your daddy, you are the head of the household. You are just like you are the pilot. You set the course. And you know what, where to go. If you lead us in the wrong direction, we all will be in deep trouble. You may not know the importance of it, but when you realize, it will be too late. So when you go and see your daddy today, tell him that. Do you know where you're heading? When you die at this very moment, where would you go? Are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? If he say he go to heaven, you ask him, what is the proof that you will go to heaven? Do you have the assurance of salvation? Same as I just talked to that lady, that beautiful lady, young lady. You? Yes? You? I forgot your name. Your long name? Give me a short one.
Jen.
Yeah, that's right. That's better. Jane. And Jane has been to her church for 9 years. I asked her the question, the genuine question. Do you have the assurance of salvation? And then I give her the illustration saying that. How long have you been to go to school? She says she's now in grade 4. And I write the formula right in on the whiteboard. 2 + 3 = what? She say 5. I say, are you sure that 2 + 3 = 5? She says she is sure about that because she has undergone 4 years of training. She knows what she's talking about. If you go to a school for 4 years and then you learn that 2 + 3 = 5, and when people challenge you and ask you, are you sure about that? And you say, you're sure about that. And that's good. But if you go to a church for 9 years and people asking you, if this building collapses and all of us pass away right away, are you sure, Jane, that you're going to go to heaven?
Yes.
Then you say, I'm not sure. Are you sure?
I'm sure.
You sure you can go to heaven?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Now let me ask you the question. Now listen carefully. Give me some proof that you're sure that you can go to heaven.
That I'm a good person.
You're a good person. Okay. Now let's check that. Jane, I hope that you're not being angry with me. Right? Okay, you're not angry with me. Okay, that's good because the Bible says, 4:25, therefore, each and every one of you must put off falsehood, right? Jane saying to me that she's sure that she can go to heaven because she is good. That is her word, right? And I'm the one is well versed in the word of God. I would like you to turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7, verse 20. Let's hear what God say. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 20. Right after Proverbs is Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Do you see that? 7. Verse 20. Jane, could you read that to me? Read it out loud. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20.
There's not a righteous man on earth who does not what is right and
no, hold on a second. You read it carefully.
Okay.
Do it one more time. If a person always does what is right and never sin, and he is a good person. But the Bible says there's no such person. Should I believe in God or should I believe in Jane?
I should believe in God.
Okay. Okay. Now Jane saying to me that she's sure that she can go to heaven. Because you think you are good. But the Bible says to us, you are no good and I'm no good. Because of the goodness of ourselves, you cannot go to heaven. It's not because of our goodness. We don't enter heaven because we are good. Because there's no such good man on earth. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Now you understand
what I'm saying. Okay, that's good. Now let me see. Assuming, okay, take a look at me. Assuming, if I don't know Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, And she's saying to me genuinely and truthfully, saying that I think I have assurance of salvation. I think I can enter into the kingdom of God because I'm good. I've never done any wrong. She's young, right? If you don't have the word of God within your heart, how can you speak truthfully to your neighbor? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? How do I know what she said is not right? For the Bible says, there's no such person. There's no such righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. If he never sins and always does what is right, then he's a good person. But there's no such person on earth. Right? That means I'm not one of it. So with that reason, can you go to heaven because you are good? Can you? You still can go to heaven because you are good? No, I don't understand. Could you explain how you understand? I'm kind of dumb. Could you help me to understand? You say that you still can go to heaven because you are good? Okay.
So if you make lots of mistakes, you can learn from your mistakes and you can become more better.
Okay. And that is what you say, right?
Yes.
In other words, you saying to me, when I find out that I make a mistake, as long as I change it, I can go to heaven.
Yes.
You think you can change it by yourself? Okay. Oh, wow. What would you say? You guys have any Bible verses to help? Would you please turn to Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9. Could you help me to read that?
The heart is a people above all things and beyond. Who and
So I would like you to read one more time slowly. Do you understand what you're reading?
The heart is a deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand?
Okay. I want you, could you tell me what does it really mean? 17:9. Do you know what it means?
No.
Not really? Okay, let me explain to you. 79, chapter 17, verse 9. Their heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We think we can change, but we deceive ourselves. Our heart is deceitful above all things, worse than a snake and beyond cure. Who can understand that? Do we understand that our heart is deceitful? Go to 13. Chapter 13, verse 23. I want you to write down, right beside 17:9, you write 13:23. Right beside 13:23, you write 17:9. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard its spot? Neither can you do good, who are accustomed to doing evil. Do you see that? Chapter 13, verse 23. Could you read that to me?
Can the
Ethiopians. Do you know who is Ethiopian? Ethiopian has black skin. Okay? Can the person have black skin change his skin color?
No.
Cannot. Okay? So can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard its spot? If the Ethiopian can change his skin color, if the leopard can change its spot, then you can do good. But we cannot. The Bible says, neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. We're getting so used to doing evil things. No way. By our own strength, we can do good. So now, remember I asked you the first question? The first question is, can you go to heaven? Can you go to heaven? The answer is, you say yes. What's the answer? You say because you're good. Now, based upon Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's no good person. Then based upon this reason that you're good, your answer is not correct. Then you cannot go to heaven because you're good, right? Because there's no good person on earth. Am I right? Now, your next answer, I say, can you go to heaven now? You say, yes, you still can go to heaven. I say, what's the reason that you can go to heaven? And you say that, if I find out that I do wrong, am I going to go back to do good? That means your heart deceives you. Right? The heart is deceitful above all things. It's beyond cure. Right? Because we're so accustomed to doing evil. We're getting so used to it already. We don't need to learn it. It comes with it. You know what I mean? So, can the Ethiopian change his skin color? No. Can the leopard change his spot? So can you do good if you are accustomed to doing evil? You still, yeah? Oh, now, oh. Michael? What was my question? Can I go to heaven? Of course I can go to heaven. Can you go to heaven? Can you go to heaven? What's the reason why you say maybe? Yeah, you have to speak louder, please. Hard to explain. Christopher, can you go to heaven? Can you go to heaven? You don't know? Wow, you try to scare me. David, can you go to heaven? Donald? Joyce, can you go to heaven?
Yes.
What is the assurance that you can go to heaven? You believed and you have been baptized. Okay. Believe in what? Jesus came on earth to die for your sin. Okay? So what's the meaning of baptism? You say you have been baptized. Why saying that you have been baptized give you the assurance of going to heaven? So that means you are not rely upon your own strength to do good to go to heaven. You rely upon the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ to go to heaven. So you get the answer. Right? Where you learned it? You learned it from high school? Where you learned this kind of answer? From me, from the church. So Jane, do you want to go to our church to learn the good stuff? You know what I mean? Kind of, eh? Yeah. Okay. Now at first, you say, because I'm good, I can go to heaven. The answer is wrong. No one is good. And you say, because I can change it. And I based upon Jeremiah. What did I say, Jeremiah? 17:9 and 13:23. Don't let your heart to deceive you. You cannot change it by your own strength. Right? If you can change it, the leopard can change its spot. The Ethiopian can change his skin. Right? We cannot change that. We rely upon who? We rely upon our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to read Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Could you read that, Jean? 14:6, chapter 14, verse 6. So you cannot come to the Father because of goodness that you have done. You cannot come to the Father because you can change your own habit, right? Because we are accustomed to doing evil for so long already, right? So we have to trust in who?
God.
What's the name of God?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, right? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me. If we put our trust in Jesus Christ, can we go and see God and go to heaven? Can we? Can we? How? Okay, 14:6. Read it one more time. You know the answer there. So what does it mean? Who is the Father? No, the Father. The Father is Heavenly Father.
God,
right? God is the Heavenly Father. No one come to God, the Heavenly Father, except through who? Through Jesus Christ. In other words, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you can go to what? You can go to heaven. This is the truth. You know what? If I try to be your friend, and I ask Jin, can you go to heaven? Jin say, yes, I can go to heaven. What's the reason? Because I'm good. If I try to be your friend, and I don't put off the falsehood, I don't tell you the truth, I say, oh, good for you. Now you can go to heaven. And then 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 years later, when you pass away and you end up going to hell, you're going to say, John, what happened to you? I give you the answer, the wrong answer. Now I go to hell. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? So which part you don't understand? If I'm being nice to you, agree with what you say, I don't put off the falsehood. I put on the falsehood. I don't put off the falsehood. I agree with what you say. You say, wow, you can go to heaven. I say, good for you, Gene. And then later on, when you pass away, you go to hell. Then you're going to say, Pastor John, how come you're not telling me the truth? I thought you are my friend, right? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? How old are you?
9 years
old. How old are you? Hey? You're 9? You're 9 years old. Christopher? You're 8 years old. Do you know the way to go to heaven now? Through Jesus. Do you want to have that assurance now? Do you? Would you please turn to John chapter 3, 1 to 6. You know what? Sharing the gospel to children is good because they won't feel upset. The older you become, you're telling me I can't do things, I can't change myself. You know, like Hannah be upset. For what? For so many days? Or so many minutes? until the sun goes down, right? You're not upset? Okay. Okay, read that out. Gospel of John, chapter 3, 1 to 6. Slowly.
Now there was a man
of the Pharisees.
Of the Pharisees
named Nicodemus. Ruling council?
He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you
from God. For no one could perform the miracles.
Miracle size?
You are doing if God were not with him. If we.
No, say it again. Verse 3.
In
reply.
Reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.
So, do you want to be born again?
No.
Oh, you don't want to be born again? You are born once already, right? 9 years ago. Do you want to be born again? No? If you don't want to be born again, then you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. You read that one more time, verse 3.
In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he comes.
Do you want to see the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
If you want to see the kingdom of God, what's the criteria? What's the requirement? What's the necessary step that you have to take in order to see the kingdom of God? You have born once already, but being born once not good enough. You have to be born again, right? Now, verse 4.
How can a man be born when he is old?
Nicodemus
asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.
Verse 5.
No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh by the Spirit. Gives birth to the Spirit.
I want you to read that one more time, verse 5 and 6. Do you know the answer? How can I be born again? The answer is in verse 5 and 6. How can I be born again? The answer is in verse 5 and verse 6. No, 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 no. Wow, you're jumping. Verse 6.
Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to your Spirit.
Okay, let's look at that. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Your mother has flesh. She gives birth to you. That's why you have flesh. That is the first time you were born. But the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. That's the second time. That is born again. And how can it be born again in verse 5? Do you know the answer? Born through what? How can it be born again?
Born of water and the Spirit.
Okay. The water stands for baptism. Have you been baptized?
Yes.
At what age were you baptized?
1 year
old? Okay. Do you know the meaning of baptism? What's the meaning of baptism?
Where all your sins are taken away.
All your sins are taken away? And what else?
And that you
You learn it at a church, right?
Yeah.
In a Sunday school class or during the sermon? In a Sunday school class? Okay. So what else do you know? So when I ask you the question, can you go to heaven? You say yes. And is that your pastor tell, is that your priest tell you that? Because you're good, then you can go to heaven? Is that what he teaches you? What did he teach you? How can you go to heaven? If you go to Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Then you can go to heaven. Is that what your priest teaching you? You can't understand it. It's complicated, eh? Mm-hmm. Okay. So Daniel, do you understand it? Can you go to heaven? What is the assurance that you can go to heaven? The Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? In your heart? The Holy Spirit in your heart, that's the proof that you can go to heaven, right? Where did the Bible say that? Wow, that's a good boy. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. If you have the Holy Spirit, when you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, that means what? Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless through water, that is baptism, and spirit. When the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, right? That's spirit baptism and water baptism. You need water baptism too, right? You have been baptized, right? Daniel, has you been baptized? Yeah. That's good. Okay, now, go back. In verse 26, Hannah, could you read that one more time? Let's say if someone tells you the truth, that you don't like it, if you remain to be angry at someone's telling you something, that means what? If you refuse to listen, that means what? What's the consequences? When you give the devil a foothold, what is the consequences?
The devil enters you,
when the devil enters you, take a look at the consequences in Gospel of John 13. Gospel of John chapter 13. Verse 2. Could you read that, Hannah? So what happened? He gave a foothold to the devil. The devil has already prompted Judah to betray Jesus. Just giving the thought. The thought entered into his heart. He don't kill the thought. He entertained the thought. He let the thought be there. Same as, oh, he say, wow, just upset with Joshua because he say something stupid. That thought is inside. You know what I mean? If that thought is inside, then what happened? Chapter 13, go as 26.
Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the fish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon.
Verse 27.
As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him.
Chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, at what time? Jesus talked about that. In the Last Supper. Right after the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Holy Communion. When Judas took the Holy Communion, took the bread, and he did not confess his sin. Look at me, remember, okay? Every time, every month, when we took the Holy Communion, you got to what? Examine your own heart. Don't ever let Satan's thought to enter into your heart. If there is a thought, what should you do? You should abort it. You should kill it and destroy it. If you entertain that thought, he will enter into you. Then you're finished. Don't give the foothold to the devil. You give the foothold to the devil will say to you, oh, being angry with him. Keep on being angry with him. You'll be keep on being angry with him, and then later on, Satan say, kill him. That's exactly what happened to Judah. Kill Jesus. Right?
Abort it, yeah.
Right? Is it scary? First of all, that's just a thought. 13:2, and then later on, 13:27, what happened? 13:27, when Judah took the bread, he did not examine his own heart, he did not confess his own sins. He just ignored the bread, he just took it and ate it. And then what happened? Satan entered into him, right? That's finished. It's very dangerous to be angry with people. Right? So what have you learned, Hannah?
Not to be angry after the sun goes down.
Yeah. If it happened,
then Satan will enter me, and then if I can entertain the thoughts, then I'll sin against Jesus and go to hell.
So whenever you have a thought of being angry at a certain person, you just abort it. You just kill it. You say, no, I cannot afford to do that. Do you remember 4:23? 4:23 is in between 22 and 24. 22 is pull off the old self. 24 is put on the new self. Pull off the old self means not to be angry with people continuously. Put on the new self. When the sun goes down, I got to stop it. In order for me to do that, you have to be made new in the attitude of your mind. What's the make new in the attitude of your mind? You know the consequences of not doing it. You're not doing it, you give the foothold to the devil, and the devil enter into it, we will be finished. We know that. We know the consequences. You say, wow, I cannot afford to do that. I got to stop it. That's how we fear God, and then we change our life. Does it make sense? Joshua, did you learn anything? So you're not being angry with her too, right? Okay. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to put off the old self and to put on the new self. In between, give us a new attitude in our mind that we know the consequences of not putting off the old self and the consequences of not putting on the new self. Lord, if we know the consequences, it's like that. If Judah know that by betraying Jesus, we'll end up he being hanged himself. If he know ahead of time, I don't think he will do that. Lord, I pray that you help our children remember the consequences. Judah, he loves money. He betrayed Jesus. He entertained that thought during the Holy Communion. And yet, he refused to be changed and give the foothold to the devil, and the devil entered into his heart. And the end result is, yes, he betrayed Jesus. Yes, Jesus was hung on the cross. In reality, he hanged himself too. Satan will destroy him. Lord, we know that Satan come is to steal, kill, and destroy. I pray that you help us to remember that according to John 10:10. He come here is not to give us life and to give us abundant life. Only Jesus come to give us life and abundant life. Satan come. When he come into our heart, he will destroy us. Help us not to entertain his thought. Help us to be alert. And putting off the old self and putting on is a necessary step. It's a necessary step. And there's no other way. For Jesus Christ saying that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you help us to remember that and knowing the consequences and the end result so that we will follow you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.